This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Call it the search engine wars. Companies such as Google, Yahoo, and Microsoft are battling to be the first stop on your journey into the World Wide Web. These search companies have unprecedented influence over what we see and learn on the Internet. Their growing popularity has created a new multi-billion-dollar industry with new rules for business, computing, and advertising. This week, NPR's Rick Carr will report on how search engines evolved, how they work, and how they do business. Today, he examines the roots of the industry.
The basic technology behind search engines is as old as computers themselves. In 1960, for instance, the state of the art was a machine that could search through 1,000 documents per minute, more than a million times slower than we're used to today. Terry Winograd teaches computer science at Stanford University, which has produced some of the top search engine innovations. He says those early efforts were known as information retrieval systems.
Those were based on looking at a body of documents that somebody had stored, a digital library of some kind, and giving you the ability to say things like, here's the author, here's the title, and so on. So you had a fairly precise zeroing in on what you wanted, a fairly limited set of things.
More important, Winograd says, that set of things was orderly and trustworthy. Someone with authority over the collection that went into the computer had to type in the author's name, the correct title of the document, and so on, just as a librarian would type the information on a card for a catalog drawer.
Then came the web, and there was this huge body of motley stuff out there. It wasn't well organized, it wasn't structured, a lot of it was junk, and the question is, how do you find what you want? And the first search engines were a sort of proof of concept that you could actually take all that stuff and put it in an index.
The first web search engines dealt with that chaos by essentially programming their computers to surf the web. The programs were called spiders, and they do what's known as crawling the web. Wayne Rosing is vice president of engineering for Google. He says spiders are kind of like hyperactive web surfers clicking on every link on every page.
The page would come back. The text on the page goes in the computer and goes essentially on the disk. And at that point, that computer has that particular web page's text and images.
When you search for something, you're actually looking through a database on the search engine's computer. The next step for the search engine is figuring out what's on those pages. And once again, what the computer does is analogous to what librarians and researchers do.
Think of it just like file cards.
Christopher Manning teaches computer science at Stanford.
Every word, not only English words, but numbers and foreign words, every word has a file card, and then you look through all of these web pages, and every time you see that word, you write it on the appropriate file card and a bit of additional information about where it is.
For example, the card for the word anti-disestablishmentarianism might say the word appears on web page number 13, number 46,248, number 2,003,000,000, and so on. When an internet user searches for the word, the engine just pulls the card, so to speak, and points the user to those pages. But Manning says a lot of pages might contain the word anti-disestablishmentarianism. Some might be worthwhile, but some might be junk.
So a lot of the art is in then trying to decide which of the many pages that contain those one or two words would be the best one to show to users.
Early search engines did that by brute force, whether a word appeared on a page and how many times it appeared. But it was pretty easy to mess with that system, according to Danny Sullivan, the editor of industry news site SearchEngineWatch.com.
People would literally create dictionary pages where they would just have all sorts of words that were all mixed together and different kinds of phrases, just hoping that they would hit and bring you over to their porn site or whatever.
Sullivan calls that search engine spam, and he says by the late 1990s, it was killing the search engines. Users were finding more and more junk and fewer relevant listings. Sullivan says two Stanford students came up with a solution. Have human beings crawl the web and decide what's relevant. They called the company Yahoo. Sullivan says it blew away the search engines that were still relying exclusively on spiders.
Because instead of them returning you 20 million matches, they'd give you 2,000 matches that had all been reviewed by human beings. And it started to seem like in 1999, everybody was going to do that because of this search engine spam problem, as we call it.
But spiders weren't dead yet. Two other Stanford students had a new trick up their sleeves, according to Wayne Rosing of Google, the company that those students founded.
It doesn't involve editors at Google. It doesn't involve our programmers making value judgments about this site versus that site or agreeing or disagreeing with the message. It involves essentially the sociology of how millions of people organize their view of the web on their own pages.
In other words, Rosing says, Google makes use of the fact that all web pages have, in a sense, already been rated by other internet users. And that's our story for tomorrow. Rick Carr, NPR News.